message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
A couple of weeks ago, the title of the message was a question. It was, "What about you?" It was Jesus asking Peter a question. Last week, the title was a question. It was, "Are you the one?" It was John the Baptist asking of Jesus a question. Today, the title is, "Am I trusting him?" And this is the question I want you to ask yourself. And as we go through the message, just continue to ask yourself that question, "Am I trusting him? Could I trust him more?" And so we want to get into that here in just a minute. But let's go back to last week for just a minute. And this, "Are you the one?" was the question that John the Baptist asked of Jesus. "Are you the one?" You remember, Peter said, "You are the one." Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You're it." And then John the Baptist also knew that answer, but somewhere John the Baptist came to a place in his life where he began to second-guess himself, began to second-guess whether or not Jesus was the one, and so he began to ask that question, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" And if you remember, the reason John the Baptist is asking that question, he's in prison, and he has this expectation that God will get him out. Jesus will come deliver him. They're cousins. John baptized Jesus. So surely Jesus will come and rescue him from his situation. How many of you know that sometimes we get into situations and that first prayer is, "God, get me out"? We might phrase it differently, but that's the translation. Just get me out of this situation. And we're talking to God because we know that he can. And we also kind of know that he likes us. Do you believe that God likes you? I told you he loves you, but you know he likes you too. So if he likes me, he loves me, and he has the ability to rescue me because, I mean, I would do anything for my kid, right? You know, sometimes we pull our kids out of situations that we shouldn't pull them out of. That's another whole message. It's like I told you last week, if your son's a police officer, you don't expect any tickets from him. But what if he's kind of a by-the-book guy, and he gives a ticket to everybody, including mom, even grandmom? But then what if all of a sudden he's letting everybody else out and not giving them a ticket, but he still gives you a ticket? Your son is letting others have mercy, but he's not letting you have mercy. Of all people, I should be at the front of the line. And you remember when John the Baptist asked the question, I think I just said asked the question. When John the Baptist asked that question, Jesus told the ones that came there, because there's a relayer, John's in prison, and Jesus said, "Go back and tell John this. Miracles are happening over here. Man, we're having church in the desert. People are getting healed. The blind are seeing. The dead are coming to life." That's what was going on. And so they go tell John all that, and John ain't rejoicing about it. He's not happy about it because, again, everybody else is getting out of their situation. Everybody else is having revival. Everybody else is getting an answer. But my stuff ain't changing. It's still the same. So I'm trying to be happy for you, but I'm struggling with that even, because what about me? So this is what was going on last week. John the Baptist, even though he knew who Jesus was, is now struggling and questioning, is he really the one? See, your mountaintop experience with Jesus doesn't make you immune to doubt and unbelief. It can still come your way. You can still go through some things that will make you wonder. And so John the Baptist gets the answer. Jesus is having revival. Jesus is doing miracles. And the thing is, John already knew all of that. It says in the text, John had already heard about all that. So he's not getting any new information. All he's doing is hearing the fact that, yes, it's true, but I'm still not getting out. And then Jesus says in verse 6, this thought, this sentence that's kind of just disconnected, it says, "And blessed is the one who is not offended because of me." Another translation says, "God blesses those who do not turn away because of me." Jesus said this, "My Father will bless those who don't turn away because of me." Why is Jesus adding this? We're having a lot of good stuff going, John. We're having revival, John. People are getting saved, John. And by the way, you'll be blessed if you don't get offended because of me. Why would that be offensive that Jesus is doing all that good stuff? That's not the offensive part. The offensive part is you're doing all that good stuff over there, but you're not doing anything good over here. You're not doing anything good right now for me. And you'll be blessed, John, if you don't let that bother you. What? Well, that bothers me. See, Jesus isn't answering the question because deep down inside, John knows that Jesus is the one. Once you've had an encounter with a guy, with a real guy, once you taste and see that God is good and God is real, then you know. And once you know, you know. You can bury it, you can suppress it, but you know. And so Jesus isn't just answering the question. Jesus is dealing with a bigger issue. And the bigger issue is that John knows who Jesus is, but John's real question is, why aren't you getting me out? That's the real question that he's not saying out loud. Why aren't you rescuing me? Why aren't you healing my kid? Why aren't you healing my mom? Why are you not giving me a job? Why are you not coming through? Jesus basically tells John, I am who you say I am. I am still him. I am still the Christ. I am still the Son of the living God. I am the Messiah. But I'm not coming to get you out of prison, John. I love you, John, but I'm not going to rescue you. And are you going to be okay with that? Are you going to be good with me if I don't do it the way you think I should do it? These are heavy questions. Are you still good with me if I don't do it your way? Are you still going to follow if I don't answer your number one prayer request right now? See, whenever we go through tough times, and you're going to, we all do, but when you go through hard times, the enemy is very good at speaking and sowing seeds of doubt and unbelief. The enemy is very good at getting you to question God. He takes the opportunity to speak to us, and he sows negative thoughts and tries to convince us that God isn't good, because if God was good, he'd get you out of that prison. Or maybe he tries to go a little further and convince you that God's not even real. There is no God. You've been going to church all this time. You've wasted your Sundays. The enemy. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. This will be our text for this morning. A lot of you are familiar with this verse. Really, it's one of those first ones. And when I got saved and was reading through the Bible, this was one of those. There are certain verses that just jump out in the early stages of Christianity, at least for me. And this was one. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. How many of y'all have heard that? I want to go to just verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. I read them together because they kind of connect. But let's just look at verse 5. But I want to look at it in the Message translation. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Now, I want to shrink it down just a little bit more. Look at the first two words, trust God, and then look at there, don't try to figure out everything. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Trust God, and don't try to figure out everything. You know why you shouldn't try to figure out everything? Because you can't figure out everything, and it's an impossible endeavor. Trust God, don't try to figure out everything. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord and the revealed things belong to us. In other words, there's things that God has told us and there's things that he hasn't told us. And what he's told you, there you go, you get that. You get to know that because he told you. But then there's other things he's chosen not to tell you and you don't get to know it. And you're going to try to figure it out. You know what? Don't try to figure it out. Maybe later God will reveal it to you when you're not even trying. But right now, just trust God and don't try to figure out everything. See, because we can let go of the things that have been revealed by putting too much emphasis on the things that are still secret. See, some things have been revealed. God is good. God is real. God is in control. God is love. But now I'm going through something, and I have a question that I can't answer, so I'm trying to figure it out. And as I'm trying to figure out this, I let go of the things that I've been given. Trust God. Don't try to figure out everything. Now, I'm a figure-it-out kind of a guy. Anybody else? I like riddles, and I don't want you to tell me the answer. Now, Teresa's kind of the opposite. Somebody else share a riddle? I said, hold on, let me think. She goes, no, just tell me. No, I want to figure it out. Give me some time. I like to solve puzzles. I'm a jigsaw puzzle guy. I like to put all the pieces together and see where they fit. And when it's all done, there's this great sense of satisfaction. I don't like unsolved mysteries. I like case closed. I like things to be figured out. I like things to make sense. I want to know how something works. I might take something apart a little bit to look in there to see how it works. And maybe when I put it back together, it doesn't work anymore. I don't know. But I like to figure it out. I like things to make sense. I like logic. I like logic puzzles. Some of you is like, that's dull, boring. I get it, but I'm a figure it out kind of a guy. And see, the thing is, this translates into my spiritual life. Because in my spiritual life, I like for things to make sense. If a criminal gets shot, I'm not celebrating, but that doesn't bother me. He was robbing a store. It makes sense. If a kid gets shot, caught in the crossfire of a drive-by, that bothers me. Not just the death, but the why. When I see a parent grieving on the television, somebody I don't even know, there's been times that I've cried with people I don't even know because of what they're going through. And it's like, why? If an older person dies, it hurts. It's painful. But there is logic in that. But when a younger person dies, a teenager gets killed in an automobile accident, that doesn't make sense. If someone chooses to drive drunk and hits a tree and dies, no celebration here, but that was a poor decision. And there's a part of me that's going, thank God you didn't hit somebody else. Because it bothers me when a drunk person hits somebody else and the drunk person lives and the somebody else who was on the way to church dies. That doesn't make sense. I like to figure things out. And you can't figure those kinds of things out. See, we wonder why bad things happen to good people. I got another question for you. Why do good things happen to bad people? See, my mind goes there. Have you ever looked at the bad people neighborhood and go, wow, look, they're doing better than me? Yeah, so there's another question that can bother you a little bit. Sometimes good people make bad decisions, but what about the good person who makes a good decision? Why does bad happen to the good who makes a good choice? I've shared this story before. Laura Barclay, it's been years ago. She's passed on with Jesus, but her husband went first. We had a prayer meeting here Monday night, 7, 8 o'clock. Once it was done, I went home. I'm eating. Phone rings. And it's a call from someone letting me know that I need to get over to the Barclay house. Ron has died. That's Laura's husband. He died. And I go see Laura. But I'd already seen Laura that night. I saw her at the prayer meeting. Now that bothers me. Laura's praying. Her husband's dying at the same time. Does that bother you? Let's see if we can figure it out. Let's take some time. I didn't get anything. You? We're going to have to trust God and not try to figure out everything. Bad things happen to bad people, no problem. Bad things happen to godless people, no problem. Bad things happen to stupid people, no problem. It's when bad things happen to good people. It's when bad things happen to people who do the right thing, make the right choice. Then there's a problem. And we can't figure that out. And we have to trust God anyway. And hang on to the fact that God is still in control and God is still real. God still has all power. And God is still love. See, bottom line, there's going to be things that don't make sense on this side of heaven. There's going to be things that you can't figure out. And you're going to have to decide, are you going to continue to trust God when you can't figure it out? In the Assemblies of God, our doctrine, we have what we call the 16 fundamental truths. It's 16 statements, biblical truths that we embrace. Number 12 is divine healing. We believe that there is deliverance from sickness as a privilege of all believers. We pray for the sick. And we believe for God to touch them, to heal them. Now, we don't believe that taking medicine is wrong. We believe that God has gifted the medical field and gifted men and women to come up with some things like Tylenol. If you got a headache and you come up here for prayer, I'll pray for you. But at the end, I'm going to say, listen, if you don't get better by the time you get home, take an aspirin. Well, what kind of lack of faith is that? No, maybe God gave us aspirin. We don't believe going to the doctor is wrong. Luke was a physician. When we have youth camp and kids camps, we have an on-staff nurse on the premises. And she's a very popular person at summer camp because she's in an air-conditioned cabin and a lot of people are getting sick, aren't really sick. They're going in for that AC visit. There is no disease that God can't heal. Now, here's the extremes. One extreme is this: God doesn't heal today. He used to do that, but he doesn't heal today. Well, Isaiah, Matthew, Peter, and more teach us that God is a healer and that healing is available for us today. Here's the other extreme. God always heals, and if you don't get healed, something's wrong with you. You didn't have enough faith. You know, faith is a part of it. Lack of faith can cause some issues and problems, but you can't conclude that across the board all the time, everybody, every time. So there's the extreme of God doesn't heal at all, and God always heals, and if he doesn't, there's something wrong with you. I believe God heals. We prayed for healing this morning. I have prayed for somebody at the hospital, and on the way home got a call that they died. Did y'all catch that? It's like, well, don't come see me at the hospital, Pastor. Some have prayed for healing and have received it. Others have prayed for healing without results. One of my friends received a miraculous healing. Another of my friends passed on and went to be with Jesus. How are you going to make sense of that? Well, let's take a moment and see if we can figure it out. I didn't get anything. We're going to have to trust God, I guess. Last week, I asked you to raise your hands. Let's do it again. How many of you have prayed for healing and received healing? Can I see your hands? Everybody look around. All right, put your hands down. No judgment here for the next question. How many of you have prayed for healing or something else, something big, maybe more important than healing, and it did not happen? Can I see your hands? Look around. Let's take a moment and figure that out. I didn't get anything. I guess we're going to have to trust God. See, it's a head scratcher. There's going to be things that you can't figure out, and you're just going to have to trust God. Trust God. Don't try to figure out everything. I know. I'm a figure it out kind of guy. I told you. What choices do you have? Job and his wife both lost everything they had. We always talk about Job. You know, he had a wife. She went through the same storm. When it was all said and done, she said, why don't we just curse God and die? And Job said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. There's your options. Curse God and die, or trust God. That's your only options. I'm going to give you a few points this morning. Four, but actually two of them are repeat from last week. We're just going to emphasize it again. But number one is this. I don't know enough to explain it all, but I've seen too much to dismiss it. So what do you do with that? Just kind of leaves you in the middle, scratching your head, doesn't it? I don't know enough to explain it. Why, Pastor? I don't know. But I've seen too much to just dismiss it. Have you ever thought about all the things you don't know? Some of you don't know anything about construction. Some of you know quite a lot. Cars. Some of you, last thing you need to do is work on a car. Calculus. Microbiology. Nuclear energy, quantum physics, astronomy. My daughter's taking an A&P class, and I'm helping her study. I'm like, man, I can't even say the words, much less know what they are. the human body, how a baby forms in the womb. Explain that. There's just a whole lot you don't know. You know, for the longest time, I was an adult before I found out a tomato was a fruit. Some of you just found out just now. You just don't want to tell it. Knowing it's a fruit, that's knowledge. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. It doesn't belong there. How many different languages do you know? There's many of them. Of the almost 8 billion people in the world, how many do you know? Did you know that there are 300,000 types of beetles? I didn't say insects, beetles. God got crazy creating beetles. He just got stuck and said, I'm going to make some more. 300,000 types of beetles, and that's not even including those four guys from Liverpool. I'm talking about the bugs. How about this? Did you know Hugh Beaumont? Some of y'all don't even know who Hugh Beaumont is. My peeps know who Hugh Beaumont is. It's Ward Cleaver, the bee's dad. Ward Cleaver was an ordained minister. Did you know that? Did you know the Speaker of the House in England can't speak? It's a rule. If you're the Speaker of the House in England, you can't speak. Did you know Walt Disney was afraid of mice? Do you know the average person will eat 8 spiders in his lifetime? That's right. Close your mouth when you sleep. Well, I'm not average. Okay, 6. If you feel something crawling around. Did you know the tongue of the blue whale weighs more than most elephants? See, I heard some wows. You did not know that. Now you do. Did you know it took $7 million to build the Titanic? $7 million. It took $200 million to make the movie. You know the Wizard of Oz? You know where Oz came from? Filing cabinet. A through F. G through whatever. O through Z. Oz. These are things you need to know. See, there are things we don't know, but we can learn. There are things we don't know, but we can figure out. You learned some things this morning, just now, in the last few minutes. But when it comes to the hard things in life and things in the spiritual realm, there are simply some things you don't and can't know. We can think about it and try to figure it out, but we're not going to get anything. The Bible says, now we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we'll know as we are known. So we trust God in the now while we're waiting for the then. There is a then coming. But right now, we have to trust God and not try to figure out everything. Because you can't. When you're with someone who can't figure it out, when you've got a friend or someone you know, a coworker, going through something, and they're trying to figure it out, they're in that dilemma, and maybe they know God, maybe they don't know God, don't guess at an answer. Y'all remember taking tests in school? If you didn't know the answer, a lot of times teachers would just guess. I mean, might get it right. Just guess. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know the answer, why somebody's going through, why did this bad thing happen to me? Why am I going through this? Why did God do this? Why that? If you don't know, not the time to guess at an answer. Don't guess. In hard life issues, the wrong answer can do more damage and add more pain. No answer is better than a hollow answer. No answer is better than an empty answer or a stupid answer. I've got a few of these. These aren't made up. These have happened. A child dies, a young child. And the preacher says from the pulpit at the funeral, God needed another rose in his heavenly garden. Can we all pass the bucket and throw up together? God needed another rose in his garden, so he took your little one. Because God, the creator of all things, doesn't have the ability to make another flower. He's got to choose your kid. That's a stupid answer. Along the same lines as God just needed another voice in the heavenly choir. The angels up there are singing. I don't think my kid needs to go and be another voice in the heavenly choir. No answer is better than a hollow answer. How about this one? God looked up the road, saw the pain they would have to endure, so he spared them that pain by taking their life. What about all the people that are going through lots of pain? Some have gone through so much pain that they've taken their own life. I guess God overlooked them, so they took care of it. See, you can't figure it out either. So quit acting like you have. How about this one? God's punishing you for your sin. Job got some of this counsel when he was going through his stuff. And God came back later and said to the three friends, I'm disappointed with all of you. No answer is better than a hollow answer. God is punishing you for your sin. Can you imagine somebody losing a child and they're grieving, and then somebody comes along and tells them, what did you do wrong? God is punishing you for your sin. He's punishing you by taking your child. What did you do? You know, parents, whenever a child dies, they deal with great guilt as to what could they have done differently. What could they have done? What should they have done? If I hadn't done that, if I hadn't have gone here, if I hadn't let them, and they're dealing with guilt and all of that. And then somebody full of the love of God comes along, and maybe they do got the love of God, but they've also got stupid answers. And they say something like, God's punishing you for your sin. How about this one? God uses suffering to make us more like Jesus, or God uses pain to purify us. Can I just tell you, that's true. God does use suffering to make us more like Jesus. God does use pain to purify us. But does that help bring comfort? And are we saying that God causes the suffering, or is it could be that God just takes opportunity of the suffering and brings good out of it? I lean that way. It's not that, well, you're not enough like Jesus, and you need to be more like Jesus, so I'm going to bring some pain into your life on purpose, and I'm going to do it by striking down your loved one. No answer is better than a hollow answer. Here's one, a couple more. God is sovereign. While true, God is sovereign, this brings no comfort. No answer would have been better. And nor does God being sovereign mean that God chose to take them. I can't go too far down this road right now. We're going to do a study on Wednesday nights pretty soon on Calvinism and Arminianism. If you don't know what that means, you need to come Wednesday night and find out. I ain't got time right now. But God's sovereignty doesn't mean that God just goes around and does everything that we see going on. Or here's one similar to God being sovereign. You might hear it put like this. It's part of God's plan. So my child dying is part of God's plan for me. And the plan for my child was for them to have 2 years of life. Part of God's plan. Listen, God has a plan. God's plan will prevail. But I don't know that he has to take your child in order for his plan to prevail. Are y'all okay? If it helps you to believe that God just has a plan, watch the news tonight and look at God's plan. God's plan involves murder and adultery and looting and rebellion. God's plan involves drunkenness. Listen, not as if every bad thing that happens is part of God's plan. As if everything that happens is God's will. God's will doesn't always happen. The Bible says, understand what the will of the Lord is and do that. If it's all part of God's plan, I have a question for you. And yeah, I'm in my logic mind right now. If by faith I just got to accept it's all part of God's plan, I'm just sorry, I'm not there. Pray for me. God in one place said, let us reason together. God's not against your brain. When it says trust God and don't try to figure out everything on your own, that doesn't mean just throw your brain in the toilet. If everything that happens is a part of God's plan, why does God choose some of the most horrific ways to take someone out? Why can't someone just die in their sleep? It's been a few years ago, maybe 4, 5, 6, watching the news. A grandfather is pulling out of his driveway, runs over his grandson and kills him. I want you to go visit that grandfather and tell him it's part of God's plan. If the grandson needed to die, did God have to choose Grandpa to do it? Well, Grandpa needed something too, and so when God did that, Grandpa got something. It's all God's plan. Where do I go? I'm opening up doors I can't go through right now. Let's give you the second point. Let's go there. God didn't cause it, but he's not going to waste it. I've used this in other messages. John Osteen first said this. God didn't cause it, but he's not going to waste it. In other words, God can work good out of bad, but that doesn't mean he calls the bad in order to do the good. See, God is powerful enough and knows enough and has enough wisdom. God is everything, so God can take anything and bring good out of it. He doesn't have to think it through and figure out a plan and say, okay, if I do this and make some bad happen over here, then I can bring some good, and then they'll really thank me for bringing good out. No. God has the ability to bring good out of bad. When you blow it, when you mess up, and then you come back to Jesus, God can use your mess ups for good. It doesn't mean he's now pleased with the fact that you messed up. Well, he knew I was going to. It was part of his plan. If it's part of his plan, then why don't we all just backslide? And we can just say, it's God's plan. So if God didn't cause it, that's our point. God didn't cause it. If God didn't cause it, who did? Why do bad things happen to good people? So let's just for a minute try to figure it out. I didn't get anything. We're going to have to trust God. Listen, I don't know why bad things happen to good people, but I know a little bit about why bad things happen. Bad things happen because there is a devil. Bad things happen because of sin. Bad things happen because of disobedience. Bad things happen because of flesh, not under the rulership of God. In the beginning, when God destroyed the world with the flood, it says that flesh had corrupted things. Flesh has a way of corrupting things. That's you and that's me. That's why bad things happen. Sin, the devil, flesh. Bad things happen because of that, and sadly, it happens to both the just and the unjust, and that's the part I can't figure out. And I'm going to have to trust God with that. Sickness came because of the fall of man, because of sin. We live in a broken world because of sin. With sin comes disease and pestilence and COVID. The devil is ultimately behind it all. And here's the thing. Here's why some bad happens. You can invite sickness and disease. We have the privilege of healing being a child of God. But it's good not to tempt God, and it's good to do your part by not inviting sickness and disease. You can walk in disobedience and invite things to yourself. You can have bad habits. Listen, we don't beat up the smokers here. And I don't do it because I'm a smoker and I got to go easy on my peeps. I'm not a smoker. I think it's a sin against the body. And some of you who are proud that you don't smoke, eat way too much, that's also a sin against the body. Let's just all get on the level playing field. But I'm telling you, some of our sickness and disease is because of bad habits. Eating habits, drinking, smoking, drugging. The 79-ounce gulp. You can't drink 79 ounces of Coke all day long every day and expect to be healthy. I pray over it, Pastor. I bless that Coke in Jesus' name. You're foolish in Jesus' name. Our mortal bodies have limitations. Another thing that can invite problems, lack of sleep and rest, too much stress. Our body can only take so much. And there are times that when somebody gets sick and we pray, God heals. And we rejoice in that. And there are times that God will allow things to take their natural course and we don't see healing. We can try to figure that out, or we can trust God. See, there is a bigger picture we don't see. And I will tell you one thing that we need to do. We need to be a little more eternity conscious, a little more eternity focused, eternity minded. Because some of us were wrapped up in everything down here. Listen, I'm very wrapped up and down. I like my life. I love my family. I enjoy life. And I'm pretty attached to people. I'm pretty attached to that girl over there. To lose her would be devastating. I'm pretty attached to my kids. I'm attached to a lot of you. And when people die, and I do, it hurts. It's painful. But thank God that there is a hope in Jesus. And the bigger, this looking at the world in my backyard, that's the small picture. The bigger picture is eternity. So bottom line, again, there will be things that don't make sense on this side of heaven. There's going to be things you can't figure out, and you're going to have to decide to trust God. Trust God and don't try to figure out everything. Now, I gave you a point last week. I want to put it up here again. Number three, God is still God regardless of your personal experience or situation. And again, not trying to be insensitive here. I'm not saying it like God's God no matter what you're going through. You just better trust God and believe God. I'm not saying it that way. I'm just saying that when we go through stuff, it doesn't change who He is. When He heals your friend, it doesn't make Him God. He was already God. When He doesn't heal your friend, it doesn't make Him not God. He's still God. God doesn't change because of my situation going bad or good, because I have a good day or a bad day. God is God. That's just settled. That just remains. That's just a truth. God can do anything whether He does it or not. See, but the skeptic is like, if you said God can do anything, He can. Well, He didn't heal my friend. That doesn't mean He couldn't. It just means He didn't. Well, I don't get that. Neither do I. Trust God. That's the only option we got. Or curse God and die. So I guess we got three options. We can curse God and die. We can trust God. Or we can sit here and try to figure it out. Are you getting anything? Just because He didn't doesn't mean He can't. Final point, gave you this last week as well, want to emphasize this again. Your decision to follow Jesus cannot rest on the condition that all goes as you think it should. John the Baptist did not get rescued from prison. He ended up losing his head. He died there. Yet, He rose Lazarus from the dead. He rose Lazarus. He raised him from the dead. The fact that I said He rose him is just part of God's plan. Your decision to follow Jesus cannot rest on the condition that all goes as you think it should. In fact, it can't rest on any condition. Your decision to follow Jesus can't require that others go with you. Your decision to follow Jesus can't require that you'll always understand. You'll always get it. Your decision to follow Jesus may require you to live with some questions. I can almost guarantee it. Questions have a way of tripping us up. Some never recover. Trust God and don't try to figure out everything. What I'm going to do in closing, Teresa's going to come. There's a song that Lauren Daigle put out a little while back called Trust in You. Remember, the title of the message is, Am I Trusting Him? And that's the question I want you to ask yourself during this song, and I want you to hear the words of this song. Here's part of the lyrics. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. When you can't figure out everything, you got to trust in Him. I want to ask you just to remain seated and hear the words of this song and let God stir in your heart. The song did not record well, but you can find it on the internet. It's by Lauren Daigle, and it's called Trust in You. I started to see if I could find just a big question mark as a prop. And we would talk about this question, these things we can't figure out. But then I would go back there and grab my other prop, which would be a cross. We got to keep our eyes on the cross. This question can trip you up. But because of the cross, we have hope. Because of the cross, we have eternal life. Because of the cross, we can trust God when we can't figure it all out. And you're going to go through things, and sometimes that question mark's going to feel really big, and you're going to have to make an effort to turn and focus on the cross. See, the cross is proof enough that God is good. We can say, if God is good, then why this, why this, why this? I can tell you, God is good because of Calvary. In other words, the bigger picture is fully intact. Eternity, fully intact. God is good.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.